the influence of diet on council meetings. From Pacific Recorder, October 9, 1902. Before our brethren come together in council or board meetings, each one should present himself before God, carefully searching the heart and critically examining the motives. Pray that the Lord may reveal self to you, so that you may not unwisely criticize or condemn propositions. At bountiful tables, men often eat much more than can be easily digested. The overburdened stomach cannot do its work properly. The result is a disagreeable feeling of dullness in the brain. The mind does not act quickly, and when several kinds of food are eaten at the same meal, indigestion is often the result. Some foods do not agree with other foods. A disturbance is created by improper combinations of food. Fermentation sets in, the blood is contaminated, and the brain is confused. The habit of overeating or of eating too many kinds of food at one meal is frequently the cause of dyspepsia. Serious injury is done to the delicate digestive organs. In vain, the stomach protests and appeals to the brain to reason from cause to effect. The excessive amount of food eaten or the improper combination does its injurious work. In vain do disagreeable premonitions give warning. Suffering is the consequence. Disease takes the place of health. Some may ask, what has this to do with board meetings? Very much. The effect of wrong eating are brought into council and board meetings. The brain is affected by the condition of the stomach. A disordered stomach is productive of a disordered, uncertain state of mind. A diseased stomach produces a diseased condition of the brain and often makes a man obstinate in maintaining erroneous opinions. The supposed wisdom of such a man is foolishness with God. I present this state of affairs as a cause of the situation in many councils and board meetings, where questions demanding careful study are given but little consideration, and decisions of the greatest importance are hurriedly made. Often, when there should have been unanimity of sentiment in the affirmative, decided negatives have entirely changed the atmosphere pervading a meeting. These results have been presented to me again and again. I present these matters now because I am instructed to say to my brethren in the gospel ministry, by intemperance in eating, you disqualify yourselves for seeing clearly the difference between the sacred and common fire. And by this intemperance, you also reveal your disregard for all the warnings that the Lord has given you. His word to you is, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Shall we not draw near to the Lord, that he may save us from all intemperance in eating and drinking, all unholy lustful passions, all wickedness? Shall we not humble ourselves before God, putting away everything that corrupts the flesh and the spirit, that in the fear of the Lord we may perfect holiness of character? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. All are now being tested and proved. Many to whom precious light has been given desire to return to the flesh pots of Egypt. Many who are supported by the tithe from God's storehouse are by self-indulgence poisoning the life-giving current flowing through their veins. Disregarding the light and the warnings that God has given during the past 25 or 30 years, some continue to gratify their desire for flesh meat. We are not to make the use of flesh meat a test, but we may and should consider the influence that professed believers who use flesh meat have over other churches. Those who eat flesh meat disregard all the warnings that God has given concerning this question. They have no evidence that they are walking in safe paths. They have not the slightest excuse for eating the flesh of dead animals. God's curse is resting upon the animal creation. Many times when meat is eaten, it decays in the stomach and creates disease. Cancers, tumors, and pulmonary diseases are largely caused by meat eating. As God's messengers, shall we not bear decided testimony against the indulgence of perverted appetite? Will those who claim to be ministers of the gospel, proclaiming the most solemn truth ever given to mortals, make the stomach a cesspool? God has provided an abundance of fruits and grains which may be healthfully prepared and used in proper quantities. Why then do men continue to choose flesh meats? Can we possibly have confidence in ministers who at tables where flesh is served join with others in eating it? The parents who know the truth in regard to the indulgences of appetite should not permit their children to eat to excess or to eat flesh meat or other foods that excite the passions. Man is built up from what he eats. The use of flesh meat strengthens the lower propensities and excites them to increased activity. Parents should discard everything that endangers the moral and physical health of their children. They should not place flesh meat on the table. And if they allow their children to eat meat freely, use butter and eggs, disease in some form will surely result, impairing the health of mind and body. Thus, spirituality is weakened and often destroyed. Fathers and mothers, watch unto prayer. Guard strictly against intemperance in every form. Teach your child the principles of true health reform. Already the wrath of God has begun to be visited on the children of disobedience. What crimes, what sins, what iniquitous practices are now being revealed on every hand. As a people, we are to exercise great care in guarding our children against depraved associates. If we could know what abominable iniquities are practiced by the members of many families who claim to be Christians, we should be more deeply concerned in regard to the spiritual atmosphere surrounding our children, not only in the public schools, even in Seventh-day Adventist church schools. If the children of Sabbath keepers are not carefully instructed, line upon line, precept upon precept, if they are not kept from associating with corrupt children, they are in danger of being corrupted. In order to be purified and to remain pure, Seventh-day Adventists must have the Holy Spirit in their hearts and in their homes. The Lord has given me light that when the Israel of today humble themselves before Him and cleanse the soul temple from all defilement, He will hear their prayers in behalf of the sick and will bless in the use of His remedies for disease. When in faith the human agent does all that he can to combat disease, using the simple methods of treatment that God has provided, his efforts will be effectual. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine, and they that dwell therein. If after so much light has been given, God's people still cherish wrong habits, indulging in self and refusing to reform, they will suffer the sure consequence of transgression. If they are determined to gratify a perverted appetite at any cost, God will not work miracle after miracle to save them. They shall lie down in sorrow. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. Everyone who transgresses the laws of health will surely be visited with God's displeasure. Oh, how much of the Holy Spirit we might have day by day if we would walk circumspectly, denying self and practicing the virtues of Christ's character. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. By Ellen G. White.